A missing Haynes boater is found safe, and Kluckwan Inc. looks to settle its bankruptcy case and move on. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Margaret Friednauer. Those stories and more up next. The Coast Guard Wednesday evening found an overdue boater from Haynes waiting out the weather in a protected bay north of Juneau. Lieutenant Ryan Erickson with Coast Guard Sector Juneau says 57-year-old Scott Pierce left Haynes Sunday morning aboard a small sailboat bound for the Alaska Folk Festival in Juneau. He was supposed to arrive in Juneau on Monday and was reported overdue by a friend Wednesday afternoon. Erickson said Pierce was found about 4:45 p.m. Wednesday in William Henry Bay, about 30 miles north of Juneau. He said the Coast Guard cutter Liberty was looking for Pierce and happened to see the Darshan tucked in the back of the bay. Erickson said Pierce had been in the bay for a couple of days, sheltered from weather, but the location was a black hole for radio or cell phone communications. The Coast Guard had also deployed a Jayhawk helicopter from Air Station Sitka to search for Pierce and his boat. The 25-foot sailboat has a small outboard motor. Erickson said Pierce has plenty of supplies and hopes to leave William Henry Bay on Thursday, arriving in Auk Bay by mid-afternoon. When Pierce was reported missing, the Coast Guard notified mariners and the media. That announcement was canceled when he was found. Pierce is the education coordinator for the Sheldon Museum. He took a week off work to attend the Juneau Folk Festival. A federal bankruptcy judge has declined to declare who is the legitimate leadership of Kluckwan Inc., saying the matter will be sorted out at a June annual meeting and election. Kluckwan Inc. filed Chapter 11 bankruptcy last year. Since then, the Village Corporation has been embroiled in power struggles between different factions of directors and corporation presidents. But U.S. bankruptcy judge Herb Ross said during a hearing recently he doesn't think he has the jurisdiction to rule on who is actually leading the corporation.
And it's my feeling that, from what I know about this case, that the position about which party is right or feels it's right now is not the most important thing. It's what are the interests of either side. And as I perceive it, the interests probably aren't that far apart.
There are two boards of directors and two presidents claiming control of the corporation. The first board was declared the legitimate board by a state superior court judge in December. That board includes Rosemary Hotch, a director who sued some of her fellow directors in 2010 over alleged mismanagement of the Kluckwan trust accounts. As part of the settlement of that case, the directors in question agreed to resign. Some shareholders attempted to reinstate those directors, but a state judge declared Rosemary Hotch and two others the only legitimate members of the board. That board then went about appointing other directors to fill the remaining seats. They fired the previous president and appointed Hotch president. She closed the local offices of the corporation and moved shareholder records to Anchorage, where she lives. Hotch and the board also hammered out a settlement in the corporation's bankruptcy case between its largest debtor, Travelers Insurance. But the day before that settlement was drafted, in January, a group of shareholders held a special meeting in Haynes. Shareholders claim they recalled Hotch and the board and elected new directors. That board appointed Edward Hotch president. Those directors also told Rosemary Hotch to quit representing herself as Kluckwan's president. The corporation's attorney, Cabot Christensen, filed a motion with the bankruptcy court saying he doesn't know who to take direction from or who has the authority to authorize the settlement agreement with Travelers. It was revealed during the hearing that North Rim Bank has the same problem. It has frozen Kluckwan's accounts because it doesn't know who the rightful directors or president is. At the April 8th hearing in Anchorage, Judge Ross prefaced the proceedings by saying he knows there is a lot of emotion involved in the case.
I know there's a lot of passion behind the positions in this case, but we're here to resolve a problem. And as complicated as it seems, I think it can be resolved with my help and with your help.
He said he believes the most rational way to solve the board dispute is to wait until the next director's elections. He said the Kluckwan Inc. bylaws require the corporation to hold an annual meeting and elections in June. He suggested the best solution was for the parties involved to work to finalize the bankruptcy, then wait and commit to honoring the outcome of the June elections and move forward from there. At least a half dozen attorneys attended the hearing, and about two dozen shareholders attended via teleconference. It was revealed that both boards have approved the terms of the settlement agreement with Travelers and that they were in discussions about agreeing who could act on behalf of the corporation to sign the agreement. It was also revealed the recently elected board may be willing to offer Rosemary Hotch a seat on their board. But when the judge allowed some shareholders to speak, accusations began to fly. However, Judge Ross, who is an experienced mediator, interjected and encouraged the participants to work toward not just settling the bankruptcy, but also their ongoing disputes.
And here's the thing about disputes like this. They're saying exactly the same thing about you. I have no idea who's right. They might be right or you might be right. It's an intricate question of corporate law under Alaska, and it does not have to be answered. What you have to do is focus on what this corporation needs to get its settlement concluded and then come out of bankruptcy with a way of existing where you don't attack each other and you start to act like a family again.
Fewer than 100 of the 417 shareholders of Kluckwan Inc. live in the village of Kluckwan, but the case and the disagreements have not been easy on the community. Lonnie Hotch is the executive director of the Kluckwan Heritage Center. She said the bankruptcy and infighting is zapping the energy of the village and taking away from positive projects residents are trying to accomplish.
Having to deal with all this with the corporation has made it difficult for us to focus on, you know, our project, you know, because it takes a lot of mental energy and, you know, causes a lot of anguish to have to deal with all that other stuff.
Hotch, who is not an immediate relative of either Rosemary or Edward Hotch, said from a wider perspective the dispute is concerning because of the effect it may have for future generations. She explains it like this.
You know, like my grandmother's generation was the one, you know, that really pushed for land claims. And she died in 1977. And so she never got to reap any of the benefit, or, you know, people in her age group reap any of the benefit of the land claims that they pushed so hard for. And then, you know, the present generation, we've reaped all the benefits without really any cost to ourselves, you know, and that, you know, got a lot of distributions over the years. And my concern is preserving the corporation for the future generations.
The bankruptcy settlement is scheduled to be approved and the bankruptcy case dismissed in front of Judge Ross on April 25th. A team of professionals and volunteers will delve into the 150-year-old watery grave of the ship Bark Canada to conduct an archaeological survey in Long Bay near Dyea this weekend. The project includes a site inspection on Friday, with work such as mapping and assessments of features and artifacts planned through the weekend. The purpose of the project is to document the vessel before it completely deteriorates. It is visible at low tide from Dyea Road and can be seen at high tide in calm weather conditions. Built in Bath, Maine in 1859, the Bark Canada spent her early years sailing between New York and San Francisco to Australia, the Philippines, and then along the West Coast during the timber boom. Then she was used to transport supplies and passengers to Alaska during the Klondike Gold Rush. The Tacoma Ledger wrote about the ship's departure on her final journey in the winter of 1898, describing it as loaded down with 800,000 board feet of Puget Sound timber, 400 bundles of shingles, 200 doors, 200 windows, a few wagons and horses, and other miscellaneous building supplies. Here's how the Ledger announced the ship's departure as read by Carl Gerke.
Lies in the stream off the St. Paul and Tacoma Mill, loaded to her utmost capacity with Washington products for the thriving cities of Dyea and Skagway.
The ship was battered by icy winter storms occurring in southeast Alaska. There may have even been a gun battle for her control at one point while sailing the Lynn Canal. She reached Skagway on February 14, 1898. Then, on her way to Dyea, she either washed ashore or was deliberately run aground.
2 weeks out of Tacoma and heading over to Dyea from Skagway, the veteran bark, coastal bark, floundered in a storm and careened against the rocky shoreland some 4 miles south of Dyea.
The passengers were rescued, but the horses died, and it's believed the cargo was salvaged. The archaeological investigation and continued historical research will fill in more details and provide photographs for future educational exhibits. If time and weather permits, the crew hopes to also document the southern end of Long Wharf and the Dyea Klondike Transportation Company's wharf site in Dyea. The project is a multi-agency endeavor involving the National Marine Sanctuary Foundation, the Alaska Office of History and Archaeology, the Municipality of Skagway, the Institute of Nautical Archaeology, the Yukon Transportation Museum, and the National Park Service Submerged Resources Center. There will be a public lecture and presentation about the project at the National Park Service Visitor Center Auditorium in Skagway on Friday, April 12th at 6 p.m. For KHNS News, I'm Marga Friedenauer. Our old friend Tara Bicknell will be with you for part of next week. You'll also hear some special programming during the absence of your news director. But you can always find regional and statewide news on our KHNS News webpage at khns.org. Thanks for listening to your local news on KHNS. We appreciate your support.